This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Khalid Samad, Minister of Territories. He's also the MP for Shah Alam and Pati Amanah's Communications Director. Good morning, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Morning, Melissa. Thank you.
Right, so I just want to clarify as we begin this conversation, the Ministry of Federal Territories is now called the Ministry of Territories?
Yeah, because basically after the rationalisation exercise, what happened is that the Prime Minister wanted to extend my portfolio to include other aspects besides that of the federal territories, like that of the Plan Malaysia, which is what is this, Perancang Bandar for the whole for the whole country.
So all territories.
Planning for the whole country.
Okay, so not limited,
not limited to just federal territory.
Federal territory, so
because,
not just Labuan.
Originally, which was originally under KPKT, Housing and Local Council Ministry.
So talk to me more about this expanded portfolio. So, you know, previously the Kementerian Wilayah Persekutuan was in charge of overseeing the administration and development of three federal territories, KL, Labuan, Putrajaya. So talk to me about how it's been expanded.
Well, it's supposed to now include a question of landscape national landscape planning, and also city planning at the national level, or more, not to say city planning, but planning for the whole country, the development. Yeah? So this expanded portfolio makes it such that it's no longer suitable to call it Federal Territories Ministry. So that's
Minister, why do you say it's supposed to?
Because it's still not yet finalized.
And when will you know when it's finalized?
It's supposed to have been finalized on the 18th of September.
Okay.
But there was some delays because there's still some differences of opinion. The Ministry for Housing and Local Council feels that that should be under her portfolio because the question of planning, development for cities, towns and so on and so forth is closely associated to the local council, right?
And do you see an overlap?
Well, there's bound to be overlaps, you know, in every ministry. There's bound to be overlap because you can't have a complete demarcation, perfect, everything fit in. Nice and, you know, proper, because there are a lot of areas that's common. Yeah? So I think we should finalise it the moment when Tun M comes back from the US, because he's at the UN meeting. He was in London first, then he's going to the US. But it's not his fault, you know, it's the fault of me and the Minister of Housing and Local Council, because we never got to sit down and trash it out. You know, we were communicating and you know, I was mainly at fault, because originally I was saying that, okay, you want to take it, it's all right, you know. But in the end, after a bit more discussion, you know, I saw the sense in the rationalization, because the question of planning for the country as a whole can no longer be put under the portfolio of the Ministry of Housing and Local Council, even though I acknowledge that there are many local councils all over the country, but it doesn't cover the country as a whole.
And right? So have sat with the minister?
Not yet, that's the problem.
Not yet,
that's
okay.
Why we've been communicating you know, over the phone, because we've both been busy. You know, I've got a few issues that I had to handle, you know, which are areas which are already clearly defined as under my responsibility, like the land issue and so on and so forth.
But the land issue you're referring to is DBKL, of course?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about that, because that's going to be a huge chunk of our conversation this morning.
Ooh,
it cannot be denied, Minister, that DBKL's image has been tarnished after years of abuse of power and a lack of transparency in the procurement process.
Yeah.
How have you had to reform DBKL since you've come into office?
Well, there are a few areas that I've been given, I've been concentrating on. The first one is, of course, getting the MPs more say, forming what I termed as the Mesyuarat Majlis Menteri, ministers meeting where I get all the 11 MPs to attend together with DBKL, with the Datuk Bandar and the all the four main pengarah or directors under DBKL, sit down and discuss every issue. And this, I think, is the first attempt at getting direct involvement of the MPs in decision-making and so on and so forth. And this will make, of course, DBKL more transparent because they are held accountable to the elected representatives, which is the MPs, which they've never had to do
before. Yeah, so previously, the structure of DBKL didn't allow for the 11 MPs, elected MPs, I might add, of KL to participate in decision-making process. So now you want to rectify that.
Yes, which I have rectified that and I've got them involved. That was done within the first month, and we've had two meetings since. So it's been, you know, the first month and the second month.
What have you heard from them that perhaps DBKL has not heard from before?
Many things. And I think it's increased the effectiveness of the MPs as well, you know, because now every program that's being held by DBKL within a parliamentary constituency, they make sure that the MPs attend, because in the past they would just carry on with their programs. And they would ignore the MPs because the MPs were opposition MPs, right? And they were like competing with the MPs and trying to show that the MPs were not, as effective and so on and so forth. But now they're getting the MPs on board, and MPs are very happy to be on board. And obviously, all the programs which DBKL holds, and including whatever projects that's being undertaken, they will have to inform the MPs, and they will have to answer all the issues and the questions that's been raised by the MPs and by the public, who convey their dissatisfaction or queries to the MPs to question.
So having the MPs as part of the decision-making process now, is that a compromise to actually holding local elections?
Well, it's not a compromise. It's a move towards that, because you can't just bring about change overnight because there will be a lot of changes that you'll have to do, and there's also currently the question of the local council elections being handled by the Ministry of Local Council, the ministry that I'm having a lot of debates on, because they're studying in terms of the laws, in terms of the procedures, in terms of the structure of the local council itself, which will have to be changed, because you're having elected representatives compared to civil servants who are appointed to the post, right? And how the relationship between the officers and the mayor, once it's an elected mayor, or the relationship of the officers with the local councillors, once they are elected local councillors, everything will have to change.
It will definitely change. Do you see that changing for the better, though?
Yes, of course. What we're doing is that we're moving towards that. First and foremost is to educate the local council, to acknowledge the position and the role that has to be played by elected representatives and give them their due respect and position, and make sure that everything is coordinated and done, whatever that's done within the constitution or the constituency, is done with the knowledge and the understanding and the support of the member of parliament, right? Rather than completely ignoring them. So we're having quite a few programs. On the 22nd, there was a program, unfortunately, I could not attend, but my staff, because I was in Temerloh, but we had a program where in most of the parliamentary constituencies, they were cleaning out, cleaning the areas that's been selected by the member of parliament.
Right. Okay. I'm speaking to the Minister of Territories, Khalid Samad, and we're going to come back and look at the DBKL reputation after this on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Thanks for keeping it here on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Melissa Idris. With me on the show today is Khalid Samad, Minister of Territories. He's also the MP for Shah Alam and Parti Amanah's Communications Director. Now, if you'd like me to pass your question along to the Minister, send them my way. 018-789-8899 is our WhatsApp number. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. I'd like to come back, Minister, to the issue of DBKL and the land transactions. 97 land transactions have come under scrutiny since Pakatan Harapan took over. That is about 1% of the total land of Wilayah Persekutuan. So of these, I believe 43 transactions have been approved as above board. 20 are being reviewed by MACC and 10 transactions have been cancelled. Talk to me a little bit about what issues MACC is looking at specifically with the 20 cases.
Okay, I'll have to correct you there. Actually, it's not that the MACC is looking at the 20. Actually, they're looking at all 97.
They're looking at all 97?
They're looking at all 97. What I did was I formed a committee which was made up of my team, the ministry team, Ministry of Wilayah's team, and DBKL's team. And we went through all the 97 transactions. And we made sure that it was generally not one-sided.
So this was instigated by you when you came into office?
Yeah, this was initiated by me. It was not instigated by me. So it was instigated by all the reports that came in about, the police reports. And I think the media was reporting about the question of 64 pieces of land and so on and so forth. So we said, MACC is handling it. MACC is looking at it from the angle of corruption.
Sure.
Because they are the ones who have access to bank accounts and so on and so forth. I can't go to that level. I'm looking at it at the angle of whether it benefits DBKL or otherwise, whether the deal was too one-sided, or otherwise. Yeah?
So, could I just clarify, is it 64 transactions?
No, it's 90. What was reported in the media was 64,
mm-hmm.
but what we identified was actually 97, which included the 64. So there was another 33 that we thought was worth investigating. And from the 97, so 43... was found to be okay. You know, we felt that the prices that were paid, the premiums that were paid, the deal as a whole was beneficial, right? And it made sense, right? So that was okay. There were 20 that we wanted to stop. And we wrote letters telling the developers that, we're calling this off. Okay? So from the 20, 10 accepted. So we returned them the money. And they returned us the land, right? So the program was cancelled.
So at no cost to DBKL?
Of course, we had to
return the money.
Whatever money that was. Yeah. So, on top of that, there was another 10, 9 of which appealed, meaning to say we're going to sit down and discuss with them. And one is taking us to court. Okay? So the one that's taking us to court, we've got to go and settle in court. The ones that's appealing, so we're calling them for renegotiation because we said that, the deal is a bit one-sided, it's not fair to DBKL, price paid is a bit too low, so let's renegotiate or we cancel, right? So they say, they want to renegotiate. So that's 20. And there's another 15, which we said that, it's a bit unfair, but let's call them directly for renegotiation. So we're not cancelling that. We're calling them for renegotiation. So now that means that the amount that's going to be renegotiated is actually 23, 15 plus 8.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
20, which we cannot do anything because everything's done. The land titles have been made out to in the names of the developer, the projects already, some of them have completed, and there's nothing that we can do.
So 20 transactions are just done and dusted.
But all of them, all 97, are still under investigation by the MACC, SPRM. So what SPRM had told us is that by whatever decision we make with respect to the 97 transactions, it won't affect their investigation. So even if you give them the green light, they proceed and so on and so forth, they will still investigate.
So it's separate tracks
even,
right now.
Even the ones that we said, we've stopped, They will still investigate. So the investigation of MECC is
so,
completely...
So most of these deals were done without open tender. It was through direct negotiation. It was and it gone back for years, right? So what was the SOP that was in place at that time that this could have happened?
Well, there were plots of land that was under the ownership of the... owned by the DAP... sorry, by the DBKL or by... PTG, which is the government, another government department, the
PTG,
Parit then Tali Air Galian, some tanah galian or something, so the lands were under government lands. Okay, then people would make a proposal to develop the land. Okay, when they make the proposal, then they would be told, okay, what you know, you want to develop the land, you want to buy the land, so they'll sit down and they negotiate on the price. So that negotiation is a direct nego, and what DBKL or the Minister of Federal Territories would tell them is that okay, you can do a mixed development, you can. Do housing, you can do commercial or whatever, and put certain conditions like affordable housing.
Okay, right? That's good, right?
That's good. But the negotiation is not transparent. You don't know what were the terms and how much, whether the amount that they had to pay and number of houses of affordable housing that's being built and so on and so on, whether that was the best deal.
And you found out that some of these deals did not negotiate for the best possible deals.
Which we felt that it was not quite, at the market value. Or it could have been better.
So you've come out to say that DBKL did not want to go along with some of these directives. Wahyu was your...
term
that you use, Wahyu directives from the top, but they were forced to carry them out. Now, I'd like you to elaborate on this because for me, it's not enough to say that they were carrying out higher orders. Okay. Corruption happens, requires collusion at every level.
Yeah, all right. What you're saying is completely true. But the fact of the matter is that the way the system worked then was that when the minister gives an instruction, then the Datuk Bandar will follow through, and so then most of the directors in DBKL, because they are not in the first place party to the negotiation, right? So when the minister says, "Okay, I've received this proposal, it's good. You've got affordable housing. You've got this and this," yes. He'll put it in writing that he supports this proposal. So,
do most of the direct nego happen at the minister level?
Yes, most of it, I believe, occurred in that manner, and that's why when I first came into DBKL, they would say that the Wahyu is there, so the instruction is there. But of course, to be fair, out of 97, more than 50%, because if you take into consideration the ones that we are renegotiating, which are kind of like borderline cases, right? Most of it looks quite reasonable. There are only about 30%, I would say, which are a bit dubious. And even then, it's more favoritism, giving the same developers the jobs and so on and so forth, people who are closely linked and so on, and rather than...
Open competition.
Open competition. So I think it had been more transparent, asked for from three or four possible proposals,
right,
then you would have a better... decision. Yeah?
So right now, coming into this new office, this new position, are you satisfied? So what have you found with the culture at DBKL, and are you satisfied with the check and balances of the current system?
No. I'm not satisfied. That's why the first thing that I did was to come up with this Majlis Mesyuarat Menteri, or Mesyuarat Majlis Menteri, where it's the ministers meeting, and I brought in, because there's no there's no structure available to allow for the MPs to participate, and there's no structure even at the grassroots level for the MPs to really be seen and to work as part and parcel of the DBKL. So the check and balance, once you don't have the MPs involved, then who's doing the check and balance, right? Because normally, theoretically, it should be the elected representatives checking on the civil servants and vice versa, right? But when you don't have that, then there's no check and balance, right? So obviously you have your own internal checking, but that's not going to be as good, right?
Well, the questions for you are coming in hard and fast, Minister. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue our conversation with the federal, with the Territories Minister, Khalid Samad, on the other side of the 8:30 news bulletin. Right. Make sure you stay tuned to this extended version of The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thank you for staying with this extended version of The Breakfast Grill. I'm Melissa Idris, and I've got on the show with me today Khalid Samad, Minister of Territories. We've gotten a lot of questions this morning on WhatsApp and Twitter, and I'd like to pose a question Amril Malik, who put forth this question. Has the minister engaged with Tengku Adnan, your predecessor, the former Minister of Federal Territories?
Well, no, unfortunately. I can't seem to find him. He turned up at the parliament, I think, twice or 3 days. Yeah, and even then, just for a short stint, then he disappeared. I didn't try to call him, but he hasn't tried to call me either. And I don't see him anywhere, you know, so that's the main problem. We had a parliamentary session. I saw him across, on the opposition side. But after that, I couldn't find him in the lounge or anywhere. So
if you had a meeting with him, what would you ask him?
Well, I'd be asking him about all the how things were under him and how he was running his ministry. And, are there anything that he would want me to look at and any unresolved issues which he should give me a heads up or, whatever. And, of course, a clarification on the question of the land deals and how and why it was done. One of two of them are very, very interesting. In particular, the Bukit Kiara
issue. That's right.
A few others. On the Bukit Kiara issue, actually, I'd like to take the opportunity to make a statement.
Sure, a lot of the city's green lung have been carved up and sold up. Bukit Kiara is a great example of that.
Yes. So that's very unfortunate.
What would you do to ensure that it doesn't happen again?
Well, I have to gazette that, and that's going to be gazetted. So that's part and parcel of our plan to gazette the KL 2020 a master plan. But at the same time, I just like to remind everybody that besides the question of the green lung and the park, there are 100 families staying in longhouses, which is part and parcel of the Bukit Kiara, Taman Bukit Kiara problem. Yeah? They're living in wooden shacks for the past 36 years when their estate was taken over and developed. You've got all the nice, beautiful housing areas around them. And they've been staying in these wooden longhouses, which is about 40 square feet. And what you call studio apartment kind of design, no rooms. And now it's three generations, 400 square feet. So what was what I have to resolve, besides the question of the development, there is how to provide proper housing for these families. 100 families and 100 other units for the second generation. So sometimes I'm a bit annoyed when people talk about the park, but they don't talk about the problem of the residents in the longhouses. I think this is part and parcel.
So you are looking to help them get
actually
housing.
The development program or project that was being proposed, which I don't support, includes the building of houses for these families. But I think they, to a certain extent, it was taking advantage of that problem, which was unresolved, by giving a lot more than what should have been necessary. Right? So we're discussing and we're trying to find a solution where we don't encroach onto the park area, but at the same time, we make sure that these people get their houses for free, because this was what was promised to them. Yeah? 800 square feet, mungkin flats or whatever, but at least homes which are more decent than what they're living in for the past 36 years.
Okay. Yeah? So, well, keep us abreast on developments that front, Minister. But since you mentioned the KL Plan 2020, you plan to gazette this at the end of the year?
By the end of the year. Because, the procedure is that you have to get everything ready, then you submit it to the Attorney General's office, because the actual process of gazetting, you have to go through the Attorney General's office. And I think that's going to be done within this few weeks.
Well, is the point moot now, I have to ask, because there's only 1 year left in this plan?
Yes.
Should you be looking forward now instead to the 2040 plan?
Yes,
that's right.
That's what we're going to do, is once that's been done, we get that out of the way, we make sure that whatever has not been encroached on and has not been infringed on remains protected by the Gazette. And then we will start on the 2040 plan, and that we believe will have to handle a lot of issues, including the areas that have been regazetted or redefined or I don't know what's the correct term. I mean, there's been land that's supposed to be a park area, but suddenly it's been
redelineated, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps.
Okay, all right. So that's quite interesting. Yeah. I do want to give some time, though, to a lot of the questions coming in this morning has been to do with the issue of illegal parking. Thank you, everyone, for your questions. But I'm going to pick a question from Janie Lim, I believe this is. How is the minister going to handle the issue of illegal parking and those asking for money for parking in KL?
Wow, that's a problem, because it happens at the grassroots, and we can't be there all the time.
But parking deals under DBKL surely are among the contracts that need to be studied, right?
Yes, these are not illegal parking, right? So these are the legal or the proper locations for parking. That's not a problem. The problem comes when you've got areas where people are parking and people are asking for money for parking, which are illegal. And that's something which we'll have to handle. We have to receive the necessary complaints with
all
the information.
So even the legal parking? So the parts, yeah. We're not talking about illegal parking touts here. We're talking about the fact that DBKL had been outsourcing some of these contracts.
Okay, all right. The DBKL has outsourced the parking to Yayasan Wilayah. One of them.
Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan, YWP, which is the welfare arm of the ministry, which I'm hoping if you do meet Kunan in the future, you can ask him about this.
Yeah, they have a tendency of forming a few yayasans.
What exactly is this role of this yayasan?
Well, the yayasan is supposed to act as a welfare arm, okay? But in the past, it was having a lot of programs once it's got the funds. It's doing a lot of programs for the UMNO leaders within their areas or within their constituencies, right? Ketua Bahagians and all that. So when the elected representatives are ignored, so they have functions like back to school, they have functions like contributions for Hari Raya, for Hari Raya Korban, but they won't be doing it with the elected representatives, they'll be doing it with the Ketua Cawangans and the Ketua Bahagians and so on and so forth. So this is something which is not correct. The way that they get the funds is by themselves participating in bidding for the lands, which we talked about. So that's why Yayasan Wilayah has a few lands.
So let me get this correct. Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan is an agency under the ministry,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, is under the minister.
The minister, specifically.
Even the ministry does not acknowledge that it exists.
So is it a landowner? Is it a land developer? What is its role?
Yes, in the current or in the previous arrangement, one of the main ways by which it raised money is by bidding for the lands, or not say bidding, negotiating for the lands, which it's identified as belonging to DBKL or that's been registered as the land under the PTG, the Pejabat Tanah and Galian. Right, I got that right now. Thank you.
Thank you for all your tweets.
And when they get the land, then they will then team up with a developer and develop the land, and they will get some profits from it, which then they will use for programs, welfare programs, which will include mainly the UMNO leaders.
Okay, so Minister, how are you planning to ensure that Yayasan Wilayah will not be used as a political tool going forward?
Yeah, so that's where, like what we did recently, when they gave a contribution for Raya Haji, we said you give it to the Majlis Agama Islam Wilayah, and they will then distribute to all the surahs without the involvement of any of the political parties. Similarly, when at the end of the year, they will have the back-to-school program. So I've already informed them that they must do it together with the elected representatives and do it within all the parliamentary constituencies, right? And play the role as a welfare organisation, which is not affiliated to any particular political organisation. So I think we can sort that out. But the business model that they've been using, where they bid or they negotiate for lands and then team up with the developer, that has to be put to an end. We've got to come up with a new business model. We try to maintain its existence because it already has assets. You know, it's got a building,
That's right.
Got officers, it's got some contracts and so on and so forth. But now we make sure that it's being used correctly and we become more transparent because all the MPs will also be able to question and, you know, find out, you know, the report, what it's been doing and so on and so forth.
Minister, unfortunately, we've run out of time and I haven't been able to address all the questions and that has been coming in through WhatsApp and Twitter, unfortunately. But we do want to thank you for your time this morning.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill. I've been speaking to Khalid Samad, the Minister of Territories. I'm Melissa Idris for The Breakfast Grill right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's mobile data service provider of the year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.